Westside Baptist Church in Noonan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Aren't you glad to be at church this morning? Say amen. 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 That's sounding good this morning. Amen.
Well, good morning. And it is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And you folks were flat blowing the roof off the building, I tell you. We've got something to sing about, don't we? Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. We do want to greet and tell our guests how much we appreciate them being here. Kimberly Barber is visiting with us. Let's give her a hand, please. Appreciate that so much. And I want to say this real quickly. I want to thank so very much you that showed up yesterday for the work day. We were able to get so much of the work done, and we could not have done it if we hadn't had a good turnout. So thank you so, so very much. Ushers, if you would come at this time, and let's take up the tithe and offerings. And I just want to mention this real quickly. I want to thank you. Every week we've had something going on, but I want to thank you for all the birthday cards and the gifts that were given to me by the membership here at Westside. We really, really do appreciate it. Thank you.
weights me down. This world can be a lonely place to be. I wonder, oh God, why? Then I try to analyze all the possibilities. There's no reason or rhyme. It's out of my hands this time. I just fall.
Somebody to do something this morning. I typically, when I put somebody on the spot, it's to sing something, and I don't usually put anybody on the spot to give a word of testimony, but I don't know if y'all have been able to see some of the posts from Sister Cheryl, but they've been a blessing to me in the past couple of weeks, and I'm gonna hand her some mic. I just wanted to give God the glory for a little bit.
I just praise the Lord for being here. I was walking around absolutely wonderful and fine, feeling great, and all of a sudden I started getting sick and sicker and sicker and sicker. And I'm very stubborn, mule-headed. I stayed at home for, at least 24 hours, maybe 36, crying and praying and begging God to touch me. I don't like hospitals or doctors. I just don't care for it. But anyway, I went and I told Jerry, seriously, I said, I'm dying. This is it. It's done. And I just felt like there was no hope. Something was really wrong. But I finally gave in. I went to the hospital. They got me calmed down and helped me. And the doctor has went over the report 3 times with us because he was so shocked. He just couldn't believe it, that I had gangrene just thick in me and other infections thick. And they were able to get every drop, every single drop. And they ran test after test, and the day I left the hospital, he wanted me to wait and run another test. He was worried, and he just couldn't get over it. And I told him, God is good. I praise the Lord I'm here. I don't know why it happened, but I praise God that I'm alive and I'm here. Thank you all for your prayers.
Yeah.
have your Bibles, turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 11, please. Just want me to keep talking so you can get the volume right. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. I need that. I thought Brother William was patting me on the shoulder, telling me to keep talking so he could get the volume adjusted. But I said, you heard what I said. And he said, no, I'm just praying for you. I need that. Amen. Well, it's hard to get up and preach after a good song like that. How in the world can you raise the roof that high? I really struggled over what to preach this morning. Had to fight all night, not to get the message, but to know if this was the direction the Lord wanted us to go this morning. And I feel like this is where He wants us to go. So we're going to go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 11. And of course, the scenario, the situation, the scene has been set. David is there in the cave of Adullam. And just as he found himself many years before, there he is here now. Of course, in the study that's come out of this chapter, we know that when David was first at the cave in Adullam, he was by himself initially. And then God started sending him men, individuals that would be a blessing to him, individuals that David could lead and fulfill the will of God in David's life. And of course, some time went by, and now we are here. He's in the same cave. He's thirsty, and I'll use this term, he made the mistake of saying it out loud. He said, man alive, I sure am thirsty. I could use some of that cold water out of the well of Bethlehem. And what happened? There were three of his mighty men there, and they were leaders of the other mighty men or captains that David had. So what took place, they loved their king so much. They jumped up, grabbed their spears and grabbed their swords and grabbed their shields and went out. Not necessarily for turf that night, but just for a cool drink of water for the king that they loved. Well, you know the story. They came back and with graciousness, and I'm sure they were quite pleased with how God allowed them to break through the Philistines' line of defense, get this water, and have to break back through the line to get to David. I'm sure it was a great feat that had taken place. David realized the gravity of what they had done. He was a great man of war, a man, according to the ladies in Israel, that killed his tens of thousands. He realized the weight of what they had done. And he felt so unworthy to drink of this water that he wished he'd had, that he poured it out on the ground. Some may think, well, wouldn't that have offended those mighty men? I believe that because David knew the gravity of which had taken place, everything the men had to do to get that water, they understood, because they were men of principle and they were mighty men of God. And so we read in verse 10, these also are the chief of the mighty men who David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. So we're talking about the chief of the mighty men. But then we read over in verse 15, now the three of the 30 captains went down to the rock of David into the cave of Adullam. Now it mentions these 30 men. And as we've said before, and we'll say today, that each and every one of these 30 captains, they had a name. I look across this congregation, and there's one thing I know for certain. I don't know about some of your situations. I don't know everything there is to know about you. We have a visitor's card here, and there's other guests that are here today. But I know one thing, that every one of you this morning probably has a name. That's right. And every one of these men, now I may not be able to remember all your names. Matter of fact, I've got two daughters, and one's Rachel, one's Rebecca, and I constantly call Rachel, Rebecca, and Rebecca, Rachel, and sometimes I call them princes. And folks, I wish I could say I'm calling them princes because I think they're princes. But I'm not. I'm calling them princes because one time my dad had a dog named Princess a long time ago that is dead. And every once in a while, I call them princes. I don't understand it. I don't expect you to understand it. But I know this. I may not know all your names, but I know you've got a name. And these men, if you go through the roll call, you'll find that every one of these men had a name. But the great thing about their names is they had definitions that spoke, that preached the message. Last Sunday night, I think it was, we spoke along these lines. Was it last Sunday morning? It doesn't matter. But some of the definitions that we've looked at so far was one of the men, his name, one of the mighty captains, his name meant of help, a practical help, a prayerful help. Another whom God made. Another definition was watchful. Watch and listen. Watch for Jesus. Watch and be brave. Watch with compassion. Then the other definition, one was by Uriah the Hittite. Remember, he was loyal. Then we found last Sunday that one of the definitions meant entangled. Means that we may look entangled. Our lives may look entangled. It may look like the devil has the upper hand. But church, I want you to know he doesn't. It's our job. It is our ministries, our God-given ministry, that we entangle the enemy with the Word of God. But today, I want to look at one more definition. And I'm going to keep doing this as long as God tells me to. And I hope you're able to take something from this and apply it to your life. Folks, I would not stand up here and pour it out as hard as I attempt to pour it out to you if I did not get something from these things when I study them. So I'm going to share with you what God gives to me, and I hope you're okay with that. The next definition for one of the fellows, one of the 30 mighty captains, is, and I love this, Most High. Why in the world would a definition of one of these mighty men, what would be God's purpose in allowing a definition of the name of these men be the Most High? I mean, that's pretty awesome. I mean, for your name to mean the Most High, I mean, it's a little scary. Let me try to tell you what I'm thinking. I personally would not name a child Jesus. That's special. That's a name that is above every name. And so here we have a man who, by definition, his name means the Most High. I was thinking, well, why in the world would the Lord put someone in the midst of these men and have his name mean the Most High? And then I thought a little further, and I thought, well, maybe it may have caused them
to recall whom they were fighting. If they were fighting with the Most High, then they understood the ones that were fighting were the enemy. They were the devil. They were the bad guys, so to speak. Or maybe it may have caused them to remember how the Most High had fought on behalf of their forefathers in past victories. And then Genesis chapter 14 came to my mind, and where there Melchizedek says, and he was a priest of the Most High God. He said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God which had delivered thine enemies into thine hand." And I'm going to read the last part of this, and this is not a part of my message, but I love it, because the last few words of that verse says, "And he gave him tithes." I just thought I'd share that with you. But anyway, here we have, in chapter 14 of Genesis, four kings. I'm going to call them the Phantom Four. And one of the kings, in essence, Sodom and Gomorrah, they had to pay tribute to this king every year. And so Sodom, Gomorrah, and three other kings decided that they were no longer are going to pay the tribute or the taxes. And so the Phantom Four, the four kings, came down, and they began to rage war, folks. And it wasn't just against Sodom and Gomorrah, but it was a large list of people. I think there were eight kingdoms that these four kings came in and destroyed there in Genesis chapter 14. But let me tell you what happened. When Sodom fell, the Phantom Four took everything, including Lot and his family. The Phantom Four drug them out, took them into Dan. But Abraham had 318 trained servants. He saw Lot in the mess he was in. He said, "Fellas, saddle up the horses. Put your hats on. We're going to town." Abraham, a man of God, this man that served the Most High, he, by all rights, could have said, "It's good enough for him." I remember the day we stood out on the plains, and I said, "Lot, you take whatever land you want to take." And you know what that rascal did? He pointed out the very best and the greenest pastures, and he said, "Uncle Abraham, that's where I'm going." He didn't take the rocky soil. No, he took the best and gave me the leftovers. And then, you know what Lot did after that? He was already enjoying the best of the best. That rascal, he ended up moving in Lot, stock and barrel, over into Sodom, hanging out with the homosexuals, hanging out with the adulterers and the fornicators and the thieves. I'm telling you, that boy, that nephew of mine, he deserves everything that he's getting. Let him rot where he is. But that's not what Abram did. He gathered up 318 of his servants and said, "Fellas, we're going to war." Now remember this, the Phantom Four had destroyed eight kingdoms, kings and princesses and princes and military minds. And here is Abraham saying, "Grab my 300 and let's go to war." But Abraham did it. And he did it under the authority and the leadership of the Most High. And so Abraham, they did this in the middle of the night. And they went into the encampment down around Dan. And those captains were asleep in the tents. And they had won a great bounty. And they were kicking up, I believe. This is Al-Tamizhit theology. I think they had partied, they had enjoyed themselves, they had gotten drunk on their success, and they had turned into their tents, them and their mighty army. But they didn't know that the Most High had directed 319, including Abram. Abraham separated his forces. He said, "You 159 go this way, and you come in on this side of the camp, and we're going to take this other 159 over here, and we're going to come in on this side of the camp." And tent by tent, they went in, and they destroyed the Phantom Four, these military mines that all these other cities and kingdoms could not conquer. Abraham did it with 318 men. And I think that when David's men looked at this captain whose name meant the Most High, it reminded them of the past victories that God had given his people. And it gave them strength and it gave them a zeal to do some fighting themselves. You say, well, I tell you, for whatever reason, it worked. It worked. So we see here the Most High. I'm going to get going here. Y'all ready? So this was used. This name, I believe, was used to remind God's people of the great things of the past. The title, the Most High, is also, it's descriptive of God's mercy toward us. In Psalm 103, verse 11, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." So we serve the Most High God. So it makes sense that his mercy is also high. Well, I'll just give you a quick illustration if you'd like. If I can remember. I don't have to remember. I moved my little marker to the wrong place. So I'm going to flip over here and just read to you about the Most High, merciful God. And I'm going to have to flip back because I just turned to the wrong chapter. Just hang on with me. I meant to turn to 136. Listen to what it says. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto God, the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him alone doth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretches forth out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, his mercy endureth forever." Hey, how tall, how high is his mercy? Well, let's keep reading. "To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. How but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever." Folks, you want to know how high? to him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. We just talked about the kings being smote there in Genesis chapter 14. For his mercy endured for Abram and the 318 that he led into battle and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Shihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an inheritance, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate? Who, the Most High, his mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto God, unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. And I think every time the armies of Israel would look over and see that captain and saw the Most High, they remembered the mercies of God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say, we need to look to the Most High and remember the mercies of God. We, like Lot, had fallen into the deepest, grungiest, grossest, darkest sin. And yet, the Most High, like Abraham, did not pick us apart, did not say, well, he deserves that, or she deserves that, or, well, they deserve that. Just let them all go to hell. They deserve it. Ladies and gentlemen, we deserved it. Lot deserved what he had gotten, but Abraham had mercy on him and mounted up and took an army in and rescued him. And I want to say to you that we were in the state of Lot. We were in bondage. We've been taken hostage. There was no hope, but the Most High mounted up for you and me, rushed in while the enemy was asleep. They thought they had us bound. They thought we were gagged. They thought we were theirs, but he took us home.
Amen.
And that's what, man, when they looked at this fella and saw the Most High, man, it gave them some hope. It encouraged them. This captain of David had a name that spoke of the coming king. In Luke 1, chapter 1, verse 31 and 32, and behold, thou shalt, now this is the angel talking to Mary, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt, now listen to this, and shalt call his name Jesus. Now listen to this. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And ladies and gentlemen, if you do a little research, that word highest means most high. He is the Son, the only begotten Son, the only begotten Son, the virgin-born Son of God. He's the Most High. Amen. So, are we having fun yet? Hey, I'm going to tell you, last week, I think it must have been Sunday morning, I said the same thing. I was enjoying myself. Some of you were, some of you weren't. But nevertheless, and I said, are we having fun yet? And nobody really said anything, but one little boy over here that wanted to be in junior church said, no. We didn't have junior church last week. I don't think many people heard it, but I did, and so did some over here. I hope you won't say no. I hope God is helping you and blessing you as much as he's helping and blessing me today. Amen. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest, which is interpreted also most high, shall overshadow thee. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Ladies and gentlemen, our Savior Jesus Christ is the Son of the Most High. So when those people in the Old Testament looked to this mighty captain and they saw the Most High, they were being told of a story that would one day take place, maybe 1,000 years from then. Praise the Lord. Man, the boy was just doing his job. He was just a captain of David's army, but yet he was prophesying and didn't even know it. Our Most High was tempted on the mount. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, that if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Listen. This was the Son of the Most High God, taken up into a high mountain to be tempted by the wicked, nasty devil, and it didn't work. You know, if there was a doubt in the old devil's heart that Jesus in the flesh was God in the flesh, Jesus Christ put that question mark in the devil's mind to rest that day. I'm talking about that had the power, that had the well, how can I word this? He had the heavenly, holy integrity to stand up and say, Satan, get behind me. Let's move on for time's sake. I'm almost done. This mighty man, his name reminds us, I think, to let our hair down a little bit. I think we should let our hair down a little bit when we're here to praise the Most High. I find myself saying this often, and I hope not too often, but I want you to know what I'm thinking and how I'm feeling about you. But it does something for me. When you come to me and you're weeping and you're burdened and I take on that burden with you and I pray for you and spend the nights looking up at the ceiling praying on your behalf concerning your... I tell you, I take it personally. And then some time passes and you come into my office and you say, I know this happened and it was bad, but let me tell you what God has been doing and it's good. When I sit up here or over here or wherever and I see you that have been beaten up and worked over, start to praise the Lord, I want to tell you something. It does something to me. It thrills my soul. It makes me happy. And can I tell you what else it does? Sometimes I'm flesh like everybody in here. Sometimes I get weak and discouraged, and sometimes I am weak and discouraged. Sometimes I think God has forgotten me, just like sometimes you think God has forgotten you. And I see you raise that hand. I hear you praising the Lord, and I see those tears of joy starting to fall instead of the tears of pain and anguish. I want to tell you it's an encouragement to me. To me, it's an encouragement. And I want to say this, if it's an encouragement to me, it is an encouragement to those around you. So if you've been going through it and God blesses you, you feel free to let it go and tell us about it. I believe it's an example here in Psalms chapter 47. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Listen to this. For the Lord, the Most High, for the Lord Most High is terrible, or is to be held at all. Ladies and gentlemen, when I see the hurt begin to rejoice, it is a thrill to me. Don't hold it in. You've been beaten up. You've been hurt a little bit. Just praise God after he's brought you through it. Let the church know. I tell you what, when they looked at this captain, Mr. Captain the Most High, they learned how to rejoice a little bit. And I'm done with this. This mighty man, his name seems to be instructing the New Testament Christians. That's right. Luke chapter 6, it says, but, listen, Christians, this is you and me. This is us. But love your enemies and do good. And lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be, you listen, this is evidence that we are, and this is a quote, the children of the highest, which also means the children of the Most High. Man, did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what God said? It talked about us and our enemies, us and those that take advantage of us. But listen to what it says after calling us the children of the Most High. It refers back to the Most High. For he, the Most High, is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye, here we are, Christians, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. They looked at this man and they saw Captain the Most High. They saw him has a list of instructions to love their enemies, to treat them with mercy and graciousness, just like the Most High had done. I don't know about y'all, but man, this is, God's word is good. I don't want to say this is good preaching anymore because somebody is swearing up and down, that preacher's prideful. I'm not being prideful. But when the Lord puts it in and it comes out right, you go, that's pretty good, God. I mean, you do. If you don't preach, you may not understand what I'm talking about. I mean to tell you, this is coming out better than I took it in. I was beginning to wonder if I was even on the right track. But here it is, folks. We go back and look at the Most High, and we get some things. We understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living Most High God. We know that based on what we've heard this morning. We also understand that it's okay for us to rejoice. It's okay. Now look, can I say this to you? My dad tells a story, and it is true, about a man, and they're up north, they're not as emotional as we are, and not usually anyway, but there was a man in Ohio, and they were going to go to a preacher's meeting, and he was a very reserved, very very well-spoken and everything, very proper preacher. And he was going to a preacher's meeting with my dad, and Dad, I guess, told him about all the great shouting and all that. And so he was getting ready to go to that preacher's meeting, and his wife's testimony was this, is that she caught him in the mirror going, whoop, whoop, whoopee, whoop, whoop, whoopee, like that. I want to say this. You don't have to practice in the mirror. But it's okay. I am not one that feels comfortable letting go. I don't. But I tell you, I've learned a little bit over the years that it's okay to raise that hand. And you know what this is? That's emotional. No, this is a testimony. We're singing about the blood. You raise that hand. Woo! That's right. Singing about that help in the time of need. Woo! Yeah, that's me. You're just testifying to the Most. So we've learned this, that Jesus is the Son of the Most High. It's okay for us to rejoice. But I'm going to tell you, I really like this thing with Abraham rushing in to get Lot that deserved nothing. That's us. We don't deserve anything. And you may be here this morning, like Lot. You've turned to the world. You've let those things come into your life that you know is not spiritually right. I want to tell you, you've got a Most High God that's willing to rush in and rescue you. Question is, are you willing to be rescued? This morning, I just have a funny feeling that the Most High might be knocking on your tent. He's saying, here, I'm here to get you. I want to take you back to the house. Get you back up here where the security is. And he wants to take you back up to the house. He wants to love on you. You've been rotten. You've done everything you shouldn't do. And the Most High just wants you to come back. What are you waiting on this morning? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to tell you today that the Holy Spirit may be knocking on your tent door. He may be knocking on your heart. He may be saying to you, he must be born again. Do you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior this morning? Folks, I've given, through the Word of God, a lot of things to think about. As Brother Dave and those come, the musicians and so forth, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask every head to be bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to ask you to please be honest with you and the Lord and with me. I am asking that we all close our eyes and bow our heads because this is very personal. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I don't know that if I died right now, I would go to heaven. Would you please pray for me? Would you just be honest enough to raise your hand? Would you do that? Thank you for your honesty. Say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. But the devil sure is fighting me in some areas of my life. And I'm going to ask you, Pastor, would you please pray for me? Because I am in a battle. God bless you. Thank you. Raise your hands if you. That's your testimony this morning. Thank you. God bless you. Hands going up all over. Thank you. God bless you. As the music starts, please, let's stand. Let's all stand, please. And I'm going to ask you, if you raise your hand, saying, I don't know the Lord is my Savior, would you come forward? But if you raised your hand and said, preacher, I know I'm a Christian, but I'm fighting some battles. Would you pray for me? Would you come down and pray this morning? And I'm going to do just that. So if you would, just come.